Before we start, we want to let you know we've launched a Patreon page where supporters can receive perks like bonus episodes and exclusive content.
Because Pop Fiction Women is our passion project, a place where we give women space to show up and offer in-depth analysis in the ways we're used to hearing about male creators and their characters.
We delve into creativity and psychology with a dash of astrology, and we have so much fun doing it. Just two friends breaking down books, movies, and shows like Normal People, Fleabag, and I May Destroy You.
Every single aspect of this podcast we do ourselves, from the preparation to the recording, from the editing to the social media promotion. So we're adding a Patreon platform because we want to keep making the show you love and hopefully expand it even further.
So please consider becoming one of our most complicated fans and contributing on Patreon.
To learn more, go to patreon.com/popfictionwomen. This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate. And we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. So today we're talking about, we're back to I May Destroy You, episodes 6 and 7 for today. So just as I said, the show was definitely about Arabella's sexual assault, these two episodes were really not at all.
No.
Right?
No, you're right.
I mean, they didn't act like it didn't happen.
It's just sort of dealing with her life after it, but it's not the focus. No, you're right.
No, definitely not. So I feel like these episodes were about race, progress, inclusion, exclusion. I thought they were really about past sins, current blind spots. There was just a lot of, even when it was framed within the ideas of sexual assault, it was about other things. And yes, we see each of the main characters, Arabella, Terry, and Kwame, getting things right and getting things very wrong, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So episode 6 is The Alliance. Mm. We start out, they're spray painting. Terry, oh, talk about a blind spot. Terry is sitting there like ranting to Kwame that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for Arabella. She's vacant. She's empty. She's a shell of herself. And then Kwame just like looks at her and is like, okay.
A vacant, empty shell of himself. Exactly.
Exactly. So Terry doesn't see what's going on right in front of her. I mean, now to be fair, I guess he hasn't said anything to her. So she doesn't know. But at the same time, she could be like, hey, what's going on with you? Like,
right.
You're vacant, empty, in a shell of yourself.
Yes. So, even without knowing, you'd think she'd have some sense that her friend was acting sort of distant or strange or whatever. And he usually cares about Arabella. So she should have sort of been tipped off when he was sort of like, yeah, whatever. She looks fine to me.
Yes. So there was a blind spot for her, a big one. And then we find out that Arabella is going to a survivor support group. And Terry kind of pulls out of her that it's being run by Theo, as they call her, someone that they knew in school. And Terry does not approve.
No. Right out of the gate.
Not. And we don't know why at that point, in the very beginning, we don't know what's going on, but she definitely doesn't approve. And we could see that right off the bat.
Right.
And then we see Arabella at Theo's support group. Theo has a whole big speech, which they then again play at the end of the episode, which I loved, right?
So interesting. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, okay, because what she said at the beginning seemed kind of rote. And then when you have the context of what she's been through and what she hasn't been through, it feels different at the end.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you want to talk about that now or you want to talk about it at the end?
Oh, let's talk about it at the end.
Okay. All right. So Arabella at this support group says, I'm here to learn how to avoid being raped.
Because if there's not a way to avoid it, right? She's like, then that just means it could happen at any time, right? And that and that can't what, be.
And what kind of world is that? Ugh. Oh, shit.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if there's something she can do. Like, yes, just do this and this will never happen right. to you again. Like,
exactly. Oh,
but she wishes that it was that easy.
Yes, because she's starting to feel, she's like, this happened twice and is it my fault? And what am I doing to bring this upon myself? But also I know that's not true. So
somebody please tell me.
So tell me, just like fix this.
Right, right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And compared to all the other speeches.
Yeah, that was stunning. Like stunned me.
Yes, literally.
Yes. So then we go into flashback and we are seeing Theo, we're seeing Arabella, and we're seeing Terry.
Which I loved them as high school kids. I don't know why.
They were amazing. Perfect. They were amazing. Yes. So good. But we start out with Theo. She's got obviously a difficult situation. We know she has a stepfather and a half brother, and she does not get along with her mother. It's a lot going on for Theo, for sure.
Yeah.
And then she gets to school and she's hooking up with Ryan, and they go to a secluded room and they're having sex. It seems at this point completely consensual. Mm-hmm. And then he takes a picture. He takes out his old school cell phone and he takes a picture of them having sex. Not okay. No. At all.
Did right? not like ask. No consent.
No consent. No, he didn't ask. You're right. So, and then she's rightfully upset. And as we're not surprised by, he's like, what the fuck? It's not a big deal. It's just for me. He starts, you know, making all sorts of excuses and don't worry, I won't share it. And then it takes a kind of a bizarre turn. She's like, how about some money? Like, she's going to take money for it.
Right. But first, doesn't he say something like references that like another guy had a picture of her, you know? But
yes.
So right. to making it That's seem right. like she's done this before. But then you're but right. She looks, she looks pissed, but she doesn't say anything. And then when he offers money, I'm like, is she really going to take the money?
She starts negotiating. Yes. Yeah. She's like, how about more?
Yeah, then she's like, how much do you have? And I'm like, whoa, this is getting weird. But we see. But then when she eyeballs his phone, I'm like, all right, she has a plan here. I don't know what it is, but she's got a plan. Right? Like, then I saw that look and I was like, oh, she's got an idea.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe it was just to chuck the phone out the window or to just grab the phone and delete it or something.
Yeah. So she had some sort of plan. Who knows how far the plan was at that point. But
right.
The plan is not cool.
No, like, the plan is not cool either.
No. So they resume having sex. She allows him to take a picture and direct the pictures, and she willingly goes with it. He gives her the money and then she throws his phone out the window. I mean, none of that's okay.
No.
Like, what is going on here? You obviously realize nothing straightforward in any aspect.
No, not at all. And then it gets more confusing. Worse. Yes, exactly. It gets worse.
Because then we see her rummaging around the kitchen or the cafeteria. Yeah, finds herself a nice small little knife and cuts herself in the bathroom.
God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Which Terry and Arabella, as they're kind of messing around during class, they notice, or Terry notices, the cuts.
The blood coming down her legs.
That's right. That's right. And tells the teacher. And Theo says she essentially was raped at knife point.
Yeah.
Oof, which we know is so not true.
Right.
So not true. For all the things he did wrong and all the things she could have been upset about, that's not even remotely close to true.
Right. Then she took it in a whole nother direction.
And obviously, we should state something that's obvious to anyone who's watched this. She is white and he is black.
Yeah. Right?
So then we're going to bring in a whole racial element to this assault and these incidents. Oh, so then she's kind of whisked away to the principal's office.
Right.
And Terry, as you said earlier, you love seeing them. Terry and Arabella had this amazing exchange about crying.
I know.
Which is like weapons of mass destruction. I can bring up tears. I can't ever cry. Blah. Like, they're just having this like amazing exchange. And the writing is so good. And these young girls acting, it's so good.
It's so, so good. And of course, it was brought on because they were saying, look, did you see the way the teacher reacted to Theo? Because she was a white girl. Oh, she came running over. Are you okay? And then that's when sort of that exchange, and which was hilarious, really, about what would have happened if it was one of them crying. And Arabella's right. Like, if she saw tears, that she'd see him as like a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes.
And their personalities are so them, which these young actresses got it. It's just so good. But it's I love seeing that even back then they were playing their roles, like, and their personalities.
Of course. Yes. Oh, such good writing, such great acting. I mean, it was just a joy to watch. Forget about the content for a second. It was just a joy to watch them.
Yeah, and the pics was, don't lie. So the blood.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
And meanwhile, Ryan and Theo, their lives, their futures are kind of in the balance right now. And they're just like, kind of talking. And, and then the third guy shows them the pictures that he received before Theo threw Ryan's phone out the window. Terry and Arabella then go to the principal with this information. Yeah. And... go ahead.
I was going to say, because they realized what, like they said, the blood's the lie. Like, that's... Yeah. That's the part that's the make-believe here.
Yes. So they go to the principal, and as there's kind of a small crowd of them who they will then call themselves the Alliance, are hanging out and watching and waiting to see what happens. And is their word enough? And what will happen? And Ryan does get out of, he's not in trouble after.
And they're elated.
Yes, and their flow about the Alliance and what was happening was so amazing. But yet I'm on edge. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, right?
Totally. And
because I know the show, right? In real life, it's pretty simple. What Theo did was really super fucked up and not okay and ruins the credibility of women who... the stats are still the same. 1 in 2 women will experience these kind of things. And frankly, Theo herself does, but not the way she described
it.
And maybe not even with the person that she has described. So what she did was super fucked up, but you know the show and you're like, what's going to happen? I'm so on edge because I know Michaela Cole is going to take us somewhere good with this, right?
Yes, that there's going to be more, as if there isn't enough already.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because it's probably one of the most clear cut things we've seen, right? That what Theo did was wrong, period. Right. Like, that's not what happened. As she was really trying to get Ryan in trouble, Ryan would have really gotten in trouble. I mean, like, it was very clear cut. What she did was absolutely not okay and wrong, and she should be punished and not Ryan. But you know that she's going to make it, she's going to let you have some sort of empathy, and which is what we see for Theo. Because as much as what she did was wrong, you see where it comes from, and we hear her. Yeah, talk to her stepfather, and she says, my mother made me lie when I was 7 and to say shit that didn't happen so she could get sole custody. So
she was sexually abused. I mean, she made her say that he abused them. Yeah. And that to me was like a whiplash, like inducing revelation. I'm just like, oh my God. Which, of course, they don't really confirm. You don't really know. I mean, it looks like her mother, you know, her mother's not like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. Right. So I think we're supposed to believe that she's telling the truth. But again, do we believe her now that we've just seen her elaborate lies with Ryan? Like, I don't know. I mean, again, that's why my head is spinning. I'm like.
Yeah, I mean, I do, because it's so clearly one for one. Like, it's about power. The lies are about power and the lies are about punishment. And what her mom did was to punish her ex-husband and get sole custody. And now Theo wanted Ryan to pay and she knew exactly how to make him hurt.
Right.
And that,
right.
So it seems like there's no storytelling or no narrative device why that wouldn't be true, but it's fucked up. Like, the whole thing is just so fucked up.
It really is. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And I can't say I, like, felt for her, Theo, but...
I don't know what word you want to use, but...
Yeah.
But then in trying to kind of, like, get her retribution, she then, like you said, kind of abuses him in a way.
Yeah.
And, right? But really, it's just like this throwing then her own trauma back upon herself. And it's just this,
yes,
this loop. And when you know that it started when she was 7, and obviously, yeah, if her mother made her do that, other ways has her mom maybe messed her up?
And she says at 7, you don't even know what to believe.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. But see, I kind of would have let it go, like, the eye for an eye. I think I would have let it go at the throwing the phone out the window, which I thought was fucked up because she took the money. So, like, it's like she seems to always go over the top, right?
Yeah.
She took the money and threw the phone when he did take the picture, and so that's not okay. But, like, then she does two things. But then the cutting herself and going, like, getting caught about it, I mean, that was... And then blaming it on him, saying he raped her at knife point. That's just... out of the realm. And even this empathy helps me understand why, but I don't really feel bad for her.
Right. Like, but then, exactly. So then you're like, so do we trust her? I mean, and that's what gets me back to that sort of delivery she makes, that speech at the beginning of the episode and then at the end. I mean, by the end,
yes,
I felt like maybe now... In the beginning, I believed her. It didn't sound rote to me until the end.
Mine is the reverse.
I know. That's why I said I want to talk about it after we talk about this.
Okay.
Because by the end, when she made it, I was like, oh, I don't know. Because now this girl, you say that, but well, look what you just did to that boy. I mean, like, to your point, like, that wasn't just revenge. That was over the top, a little bit psychotic.
Yes.
And now
yes.
you sit in these meetings and now your words have a completely, yeah, exactly. A little bit. Now her words meant less to me. It sounded like bullshit at the end.
Oh, wow. Okay. So obviously I had the opposite reaction.
Yeah. But that's interesting, though. Her repeating it, she wants you to have some kind of reaction.
Yeah. Think about it in a different way with the other information. Yeah. I mean, at the end, I was like, okay, she's telling the truth now because she's saying, I mean, she was like, she obviously was, she says exploited. It's not just physical abuse, exploitation. She doesn't just, it's not just about sexual assault.
It's abusers. She's like, I hate abusers. I think that abuse.
Grooming.
Grooming, assault, domestic violence are the most abhorrent qualities. But I'm like, you're an abuser. By the end, see, when I heard that, I was like, you mean like you?
Yeah, you know? But that's, I mean, but I don't know, when you're, it's a cycle.
Like, I know.
When you're,
I know.
And it didn't begin with her, so.
It didn't, and she was a child. So I agree, but I was sort of like, this is like just this whole, who do you trust? And the cycle of trauma and.
Yeah. But it's crazy. I definitely did think her words meant something at the end and they didn't mean anything to me at the beginning, because I thought, okay, she clearly is a survivor. She clearly is a victim, and just not of what she said in that one moment. But that doesn't take away that she is. She definitely is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know, but this is the brilliance of this show, right? Because
I know
you could just easily have, but you know, portray assault or abuse, and there could be an obvious bad guy or someone to condemn. But with this show, no, it's just there's never an easy out or an easy way to look at it.
And it doesn't. It leaves you in that gray area. It doesn't help you come to your own, you know, conclusion. It you have to bring to it your own experiences, your own point of view. And it's interesting because that's how we get to this point where you see something at the end that is not trustworthy. And at the end, I'm like, okay, this is true now. So that's amazing.
I thought this was one of the best episodes. I really did like this.
It's intense, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, then that brings us to episode 7, Happy Animals, which is, again, more of the same. We, you know, we keep doing these recaps by hours just because it's just the way we decided to do it. But they seem to really fit together, these two, also continuing these ideas of race, consent, exploitation. And then this one adds in the climate crisis as privilege, and it adds in public persona versus private life. There's so much fucking going on in this
30
show.
minutes.
And she just layers it and on. You can still, she just piles it on.
Even in all of that very serious things you've just mentioned, there is also just a lot of fun.
Them,
their friendship and them partying, and like that's all in there.
Oh, yeah. This one is like contextually, it's a lot of like partying and a lot of fun stuff going on, and especially in Happy Animals. Like,
yeah,
this is,
that's what I mean. This one, this Happy Animals one, has all of that. Plus, yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But she never lets a scene go by without touching on these deeper ideas, which is just phenomenal. It's crazy. Okay, so where does I can't even remember where this one actually does. This one start with
money.
Her reading her
in the grocery store when they don't have the money, or her credit card gets declined. Sorry.
Yeah, which this was rough to watch. The cashier wanting a selfie as her card's being declined, and then the cashier like outs her.
She posts it. Like,
yeah, and says her card got declined laughing my ass off.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Oh, jeez. I'm like
it's
and
a
then,
lot, lady. I take a selfie with you, and then you mock me on the internet or wherever.
Yeah. And we see also some messages coming through on the screen. We see that people are asking Arabella for advice, asking her for money, and she's struggling, to say the least.
Right, exactly.
She doesn't have money.
Right, but she still has this persona. And but it's like you said, it's what is the persona versus the outward social media image versus what's really going on for her, which is she's actually run out of the money she got for her book contract. Mm-hmm. You know, she's struggling. She's now thinking of writing like a different book. I mean, that's where she's really at versus what.
Right. What the she's world struggling sees. Really hard. And she's not showing that at all, which I mean, I understand that's sometimes the point of social media, but hers is a very, very stark contrast between the persona. You know, other people you think like, oh, well, you put on makeup and you know, put on bronzer and highlighter. And so it's like your best face, but you always assume, or I do, it's real. But this is so like her social media life is not at all her real life. That's such a stark contrast between what's really going on for her in her real life.
Right, which is interesting because the way she became famous or well-known is because of her Twitter and her social media presence. So that's like what her and career has been built on.
Yeah, and presumably her authenticity, right, on social media.
Yeah,
and now here she is doing the exact opposite.
The voice of the millennial generation, right?
Yeah, but being anything but authentic for sure. Mm-hmm. And then she reads...
Oh, yeah.
She reads something that she's been writing to her, I guess, editor agent. But she writes something that just blew me away. She said, I never noticed being a woman. Uh-huh. I was too busy being poor and black. Mm-hmm. And now that she's noticed, she can't stop noticing. And she goes on to say, like, am I too late to represent women? And oh, man, that was...
And am I, like, a good enough representative?
Right.
You know, that was amazing what she wrote.
Yeah.
And I knew it was not going to... Like, as I'm listening, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so good. This is so good. And she's being so vulnerable. And I knew those two would be like, yeah, that's great, but we don't really care. Like, write the book you're contracted to write. And I just knew it was coming, but I was like, oh, God, don't do it. But they did. And they have to. That's their jobs. But you see, she, like, this awakening in her, and she's trying to put it into her writing, but this isn't really what she's supposed to be writing about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least not for this one. It's exactly. The next book, but yeah, this one but... is not. Right, because it isn't clear whether they just don't want her writing about this at all or whether it's not this book. But what that I never noticed being a woman was just blew my mind because it was like I feel like I came to understanding my gender very late.
Mm-hmm.
And that it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, I always knew I was a woman. I've never had any doubts about that. But to I knew I was a woman, but didn't notice it. Kind of exactly the way she says it is so.
I completely agree. I didn't notice it. And actually, I think I would have thought that that was a good thing that I didn't notice it. I think if I had thought about it, I probably would have said that proudly. Like, do you know what I mean? Right. And again, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't have this analysis in real time. But I think I probably would have said, but that's good. I mean, why should I? I mean, I should just think of myself as me and I can do whatever
I... As a person, right?
Yeah, I'm a person. I can be whatever I want to be. Like, I'm not limited by my gender, all of that. But you realize when she's speaking that the importance of it actually, and that I've come to that later in life.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's interesting though. I want to think about it in that way because I had thought about it a little bit more the way she was saying, like it wasn't something I grappled with, I guess is the thing I was thinking but I did grapple with like the social class of my childhood, my, you know, ethnicity. So I was like, damn, like, when do we come to grips with that? And what does it mean? That was crazy. Because like I said, I had grappled with other parts of my identity. So,
and it's interesting for her, right? The part you just read, I mean, she was saying she was too focused on being poor and being Black. And those things were the more predominant, like in her face, obstacles.
Yes.
I guess,
and the pieces of her identity that she was more focused on as opposed to being a woman.
Right. Yeah. And you see, I think the reason I didn't focus on being a woman is because of my privilege, right? I didn't I was fortunate enough that there were not really obstacles or it parts of my identity that I have to struggle with until, like you said, I think then when I got in the workforce. Right. And that's when I think the gender issues, and again, I'm still very fortunate and still very privileged, but I'm saying that's where that
you
became more apparent
to
me, exactly, than it did as a kid who otherwise, you know, did have, you know, a pretty, you know, easy upbringing, I guess you will.
Right. But what's funny to me is, and even this fictional character of Arabella, you, me, all of us, we still always come to have to grapple with it and come to have to, quote unquote, notice. Yeah, notice that you're a woman and what does it mean? And
when you notice, is different for everyone, I think is the point. And that she's, that moment that she's articulating there, I think everybody has one or more of those moments where it happens to them.
Yes. Oh, so that just blew me away.
So good.
Yeah. But then, oh boy, then it gets icky again. Right? We go to Happy Animals.
Yeah.
This vegan
company.
Well,
after she tries to get money from Susie. Sorry.
Yes.
Who's like,
yes.
That, I thought that was very funny when she's like, oh, you know, it's just this thing of a contract, you know?
Yes.
She's like, you know, where both sides just sort of agree on something or whatever. She said, like basically, nice try, but you can't have any further advance on your money. So that's why she needs money. And hence, when Theo says, hey, come work at Happy Animals, that's where we see her desperation, because she ain't getting any more money
out
of Susie.
Right. That's exactly right. Yes. Yes. That's an important piece of it. Right. Oh, yeah. And Susie. So then she's at Happy Animals, this vegan company that is started by some white guy with a beard, a very hipster kind of looking guy, right? Right.
Like a Silicon Valley type. Yeah.
Yes.
Do-gooder, hipster. Yeah.
Yes.
I came up with this idea at uni. You know.
Yeah, who's clearly never had a struggle in his life. And it's like, okay, but you're going to save the world anyway. Mm. Yeah. And let's just go. Okay, so that just feels so icky, right? They're asking her, like, she needs money, and we know this. And then they're like, why not just take a picture? We'll give you more money. Yeah. Why don't you do a video? We'll give you even more money. And she's consenting, going back to the theme of, but is she really? She is, but she needs the money. She's
right. But this is also like to our discussion earlier of her with social media, and that's her, like, that's in her wheelhouse. So I think she's
but
at first.
Veganism,
like,
isn't.
No, not that. But the, even some of the things she's doing while they're videoing her, and she gets really into it and hams it up, and she's good on like live videos and taking pictures, like, because that's what she does, like, and so she's very comfortable doing that. So they kind of get her in like her sweet spot, but you're right. But on the subject matter and what this message is like, that's not her thing. Like, it's like she's just like pretending a little bit, but she is good at pretending for social media purposes. Yes. But you're also thinking, oh my god, you guys are just clearly using her because she's black and a woman and already has this social media presence.
Yeah. Well, I did not think about them using her for being black. I thought her followers and her influence.
Maybe I didn't at first. Obviously that comes up later.
We'll get to,
I might not have either. I was definitely thinking, more her public persona.
Yes. And
would be good for their brand.
Yes. And she clearly has lots of followers and her if what she got famous for was being so authentic, then having someone who is thought of as so incredibly authentic hawking your goods is like a great thing, right?
Completely.
Arabella wouldn't say it if it wasn't important as a millennial or as her, you know, fed up millennial persona. So that just felt terrible, like icky to watch. So we go into it more. Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to keep
going? I know
it sort
of jumps around. That's the problem.
It does. Yeah. Well, let's stay with that theme, right? Well, it's the one that ends it, so maybe not. We'll come back
to it. Let's go in order, I guess.
Yeah. So then Terry is talking to Simon.
Yeah. Right? Simon's back.
Simon is back from the very first episode, who we did not feel good about but didn't know what to feel badly about. Like, we knew he was not best, but what did he do, and
what was his role that night other than kind of being a bad friend and maybe leaving her,
right? But I don't know, you know me, I don't necessarily think that leaving someone is a bad friend.
I know,
but also how much of it were we imputing the fact that he's cheating on his long-term partner, and like where, like, what kind of bad guy is he, right? And
we get more gray here.
Yes, definitely more gray here. And then, right, as their conversation, so Simon calls Terry out, right?
Yeah.
Like, why exactly am I not supposed to be around her? And Terry has some great answers. She's like, well, she has to avoid friends who don't affirm or comfort, and which is a great line. And then he's like, well, what about the fact that you told me it was to leave her?
He was like, she's like, it's for self-care. And he's like, this some self-care. Who's it for? Right? Meaning.
Insinuating that she's
maybe it was
doing this to protect herself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's when you're right. Yeah. He says, I got your approval to leave her. Mm-hmm. And Terry's like, you put me like in a difficult decision. And he's like, you told me, you were sober. You told me just leave her. This is what she does.
Was the part. Ooh,
yes.
This is what she does. Oh, man.
And then you forced me to lie to her the next day. So then I was like, whoa, hold up. Yeah. Terry. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, the Terry saying, oh, just leave her. This is what she does. It does sound bad. But
yes,
I think we all have friends like that who you're just like, oh, you know, that's what that one does. Maybe this, you know, we know what that was like when they were in Italy together. And I think if you're Arabella's friend, you've seen this movie before, right?
Yeah.
I know, yeah. But then to then, well, though,
by the way, I will, like, to be honest, I've said this on other recaps, but I'm the Arabella. I am.
No, I know.
But
I know.
But to have some, I mean, it just, and again, this is adding my own perspective into it. That's the point where it crosses the line of like, this was bound to happen to her kind of thing. Or like, this is what she does. Like, you can't pretend to be responsible for her. I mean, it's one thing if someone like leaves, they're done with my shit. But to be like, I don't know, that line just really was like a real gut punch for me.
I know. And it's not like that she was saying, you know, she deserves this or something, though. But this is what she does.
She doesn't say those words, but that to me was the subtext. It definitely was. Like, this was, and if maybe deserve feels too harsh, maybe it was, this was bound to happen to her because this is what she does. She acts irresponsibly. She, you know, is in these situations where things like this happen to people and they don't happen to me. This is what she does.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to tell Simon to lie the next day. Now this is getting not so good for Terry here. I'm like, but then you see her like, I'm helping, you know, I make her feel good. And that's her guilt, you know, she's doing all these things we now realize because she bears a lot of guilt.
Yes, but actually, I think that I thought that was a good point. The truth is, she is helping. She is taking her to yoga and painting and caring about her. So I know part of it's driven by her own guilt, but does that matter? No. Arabella needs these things, and Terry is helping her get them. And
I agree with that. I think it's just she's made Simon the villain here.
Yes.
As a way to kind of make herself feel better. But listen. Yeah. I agree with you. What she's doing, she really is. And I think it comes from a genuine place, not just from a place of guilt. I mean, their friendship, we've talked about a lot, I think is
I don't know.
You don't think so?
No, yes. I don't. I just don't have feelings about people's intentions. I don't care whether she is doing it with good intentions or bad intentions. The point is Arabella needs it and Terry is helping her get it. So
yes.
I don't really care either way. I mean, that's to me, like, if you care she's got good intentions, then you should care that if it turns out that she only has bad intentions, meaning she only wants to assuage her own guilt, then do you feel less good about what she's doing?
Yes. Yes.
Now, see, I don't feel either way. Yeah.
I do. I do care about intentions. We've talked about this. So I do. I mean, I discount it a little. Yes. Yeah. I don't think we're that far here. I'm just saying, generally, you're right. If she had all ill intentions and this was all about making herself feel better, then I think that's much more selfish. And you're helping Arabella, but that would taint a little for me. But here, we're not in those extremes. I think we're actually in this perfectly complicated, flawed, kind of spot. Which
that she's doing it to help her and also doing it because she's guilty. Yes, I agree.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And now we see Simon is not, again, just not as black and white either.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not a bad guy on several levels, I guess is the point, right?
Right.
He is not. He was doing, you know, he did. I mean, he's actually a pretty freaking great guy to call Terry and say, what should I do? That's a big deal. And then Terry says, go ahead and leave. And he does. And then he only lies because Terry asked him to. I mean, it seems the only thing he's guilty of is having sex outside of his partnership. Right. But also then, I don't know. So
but even that, they were inviting his partner was inviting in another woman to it. So I don't know. Maybe they have a more open. I know she didn't agree to let him have sex with that woman. But basically, everything's fucking gray. That's the whole point. Like even Simon, I don't know. I mean, the thing with Simon, though, is he just has a little bit of his personality just has a little bit of a douchebaggedness to it. You know what I mean? Even when he's sitting there. But I don't know. He's sort of like Terry. You know, you just keep taking up my lunch break. And I got to listen to you try to make yourself feel better. So if you don't mind, I'm going to go back to work now, lady.
It's just interesting to think about, like, are the situations gray? Are the people gray? Like, what is the ambivalence or the uncertainty, because I don't know, I guess I'm seeing it kind of act by act, but also
in the big picture.
It doesn't give them permission. Like, Theo being fucked up doesn't give her permission to do what she did to Ryan. But then you see how that happens, because she mm-hmm. was taught this at a young age. And I don't know. And then, I don't know, again, what Simon is doing behind his girlfriend's back, long-term partner's back, is fucked up. But what he did with Arabella was not at all.
Right.
So
one has nothing to do with the other in that instance. Yeah.
I know, but I think that some people watching it will still think yes. Simon's not a good guy. And I just right. don't think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I agree yeah. with that. Yeah. I think Simon, like I said, there's a lot of nuance there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so then they're at Terry's birthday party, celebrating.
Love yeah. her dress.
Oh my gosh.
She's a birthday girl after my own heart. Like, yeah. She's like, it's my birthday. When that cake comes out, I'm like, she must be a Leo. Look at her. She is so into her birthday party.
Oh my God, I love it. And she was like glowing in it. Yes.
She looked hot. She's all amped up. She's like, it's my night. Everybody look at me. You
know? Yes. Wearing yellow, which she looked amazing in, but also like reminded me of the sun, the center of the universe. She totally would be a Leo. Totally.
That's what I was thinking.
Totally. I love it. Yes. Okay. So it's her birthday, the party. Oh, there's a lot going on at this party. Holy shit. A lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay. First, we have Kwame talking about the Greek and Egyptian, and he lost his virginity to two guys who were, one was Greek and one was Egyptian. I don't know their names. They didn't ask mine. And Terry just listens, and she's like, wow, hon. And he's like, dark, I know, right? And I'm like, oh, Lord.
But like, what was, I was like, wait, so he just admitted he lost his virginity to two strangers? Like, he doesn't know their names? I'm like, I didn't know what I was supposed to take from that. Like, some hypersexualization? Or was he like the victim, has always been a victim? I don't know, or maybe... matter of fact. I was like, okay.
Yeah, but it seemed matter of fact in like that way that like, oh my God. I mean, you know what it reminded me of? Oh, not at all. This is not the same. But it reminded me of when I in Lady Bird was like, my boyfriend had sex with someone else before we had sex because he wanted to practice. And I was like, I've never said that out loud. And that's fucked up.
I'm sorry, it's not funny. I'm just laughing.
No, but you're right. You should.
It just sort of came out. And you were like, wait, that's really fucked up.
Yes. And you're like, so it's and one of those he does. He's like, oh,
say
shit,
it like
that was
a matter
dark.
Of fact.
Yes.
But
well, it was a fact.
But when the words come out, you realize,
I never thought about what impact that may have had on me and my entire life.
Right. And he just doesn't dwell on it, though, in that moment. It's just sort of like, that's why I think.
Yeah. Well, I think he's like, not... He doesn't have the opportunity to dwell on it on that moment. But the point is, he hasn't really ever thought about it. And now, just like Arabella can't stop noticing that she's a woman, I don't think he's going to be able to stop noticing that was his very first experience and what that
meant.
And
what did that do to him long term? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Then he goes straight to the birthday cake. And what I was talking about, he brings that out and she's dancing and she basically gives a speech, like, you know, they're like, speech. And I'm like, this is where the actress comes out in her. But that's when her and Arabella do that. I love you more than myself. And that line, your death is my death, your birth is my birth.
Yeah. But this seems like all guilt on Terry's part. She's like, I love you so much, Arabella. You're the best, Arabella. And I'm like, no, you do not need to make this about her. And it was uncomfortable for Arabella. It didn't seem genuine. Yeah. It was all sorts
of... And it just followed what we learned from her conversation with Simon. But the your death is my death, your birth is my birth line together, that they sold me on that one. But the they did on that time, but I don't know. But all the stuff leading up to it, I was like, oh, Terry, what are you doing?
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel it for either one of them, because let's say Arabella is being a dick in this episode.
Yeah, she is actually.
You know? And oh, mostly shoot. To Kwame.
I know.
Oh, shit. Like, her, like, pushing this guy who's clearly interested in Kwame, but Kwame's going through some shit. And you don't, even if you don't know what it is, it seems pretty obvious. But it's a massive blind spot that Arabella's got going on.
Yes. And I mean, you've suffered or from two sexual traumas, yeah. assault yourself. And even if you don't know what happened to Kwame, you lock someone in a room with someone. I mean,
oof,
that did not seem cool. That's a massive blind spot, to say the least. That did not seem
cool in any way. You're right. Right? Exactly.
And it's not like he was saying to her, oh, God, that guy's hot. I want to like hook up with him. He was actually looking deeply uncomfortable there and was not receptive. Yeah,
because by the way, if he had said that, she would have been like, oh, you're going to go get that later. She wouldn't have locked him in the room. The whole point was that she was willfully blind here. She's like, oh, why aren't you going for this guy? I'm going to have to lock you in a room with him because you're not even going for it and you totally should.
Yeah.
Oof.
That was no good.
Yeah.
Arabella.
Yeah. But we see this is what I said about inclusion and exclusion. And Terry does it too. Terry says when she's upset that Theo's there, by the way, also haven't discussed the fact that it's kind of fucked up that Arabella invites Theo to Terry's birthday party. Now,
right. She knows Terry doesn't like her.
Right. And she could be like, look, she's hosting this survivor group that's super important to me and really helpful. But that has nothing to do with inviting her to Terry's birthday party. That's fucked up.
Yeah. And it's not kind of cool. Like a small party. I mean, it's not like there's hundreds of people there. Like, it was like they're friends. And she's definitely not Terry's friend.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't even matter to me. Even if there are 200 people there, I don't know why she would do that. That seems fucked up, like against your friend. She doesn't like Theo. Like, don't bring her around to her birthday party.
Right.
Oh, so, and again, about the inclusiveness, exclusiveness, she's clearly like, well, you wouldn't get sexually assaulted either because you're a gay man or because you're gay or because you're constantly on Grindr somehow, then you could not possibly be sexually assaulted because you are just always trying to have sex. I mean, all of what she's included on is as who is a survivor excludes Kwame.
Yeah. I mean, Terry, though, this is not her finest moment here. I mean, when she's telling Kwame that someone should tell Theo that black people don't do coke. I mean, apart from Arabella, and they don't get raped.
Yeah.
So she's not going to find any new rape victims here.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's Arabella was the fucked up one, excluding Kwame. But now here's Terry making a generalization that except for Arabella, black women don't get raped. What?
Wait, what? I was like, excuse me? Terry, excuse me?
Yeah. 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 So they're both drawing these pictures of who gets raped, who gets sexually assaulted, and they have very clear ideas. And shockingly, they are either, you know, Terry says except for Arabella, which is very nominal and disregarding of Arabella's experience, like that she's like black women don't get raped, and then Arabella acting as if either a gay man or a man or someone who's just constantly on Grindr, always looking to have sex, couldn't possibly get sexually assaulted either. So they're both painting these pictures of who this can happen to and who it can't happen to. And they're excluding people right in front of them.
Right. Their own friends.
Oof. It's harsh. It's harsh.
Yeah. And Terry, you know, clearly she still distrusts Theo. She said, you know, she framed a black man when we were kids because it seems like Arabella didn't understand, like, what is your problem? Like, with her. And Arabella's like, that was a long time ago, you know, like Terry. Yeah. And she's like, what is she hiding? I'm like,
What does she say? She says, why is she being nice and supportive? What is she hiding? I mean, Terry, why are you being so nice and supportive? What are you hiding? I mean, she's projecting on Theo exactly what she's doing for herself. Now, it's also legitimate to ask those questions of Theo, but those questions are truly of herself. Why are you being so nice and supportive? What are you hiding? Because just the way we see the way Terry reacts to Arabella when she first is kind of fucked up in the second episode, this is not her normal MO to be nice and supportive when Arabella has gotten herself into some trouble. What's the first thing she says? Were you doing coke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, whoo, God, this show, my fucking brain could explode.
I know. That's it's like mental whiplash.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. But by the way, since you brought it up, Arabella says, oh, that was a long time ago about Theo.
Uh-huh.
But then she still finds it necessary to kind of apologize to Theo or to come out and say, you know, back then I was one of the people
that you out.
Yeah, that outed you. And I thought it was kind of fucked up that Theo didn't say anything like, well, I shouldn't have done that, right? She doesn't say anything like that, right?
No,
like,
she doesn't. She doesn't. You're right.
Yeah,
she doesn't like sort of own up to her mistake at the time of what she did to Ryan, or acknowledge that what she did was actually fucked up.
Right. And because I think, you know, when we talked about it a little bit last time with the cancel culture, it can be forgiveness is a real thing, whether it's on a public persona or a private situation. Forgiveness is a real thing. And people can be forgiven for things that they've done that were terrible. But it needs to be expressed. It needs to be a conversation. It needs to be as awkward as it could be. I mean, and Arabella didn't make a big deal about it. She was like, hey, back then I was the one who, you know, outed you. You could just say that. That's part of it. And she could have just said, hey, and by the way, I shouldn't have done that. It doesn't need to be like a sit down, like look you in the eyes, like, you know.
Instead, she was like, oh, I always wondered who you know, who ratted me out.
Yeah. So, oof, I mean, yeah, there's a lot going on.
And then there's poor Kwame in the bedroom.
I know.
Having flashbacks.
Yes.
To the assault. And then he calls Damon. And I'm like so excited. Because
I know. And then, Damon's like, thank you. And we're like, fuck, this isn't going to be good.
I know. He thanks him for being so cool and then tells him he met someone.
Yeah. And Damon's pretty much like, hey, you being cool about this opened me up. And now I've met someone amazing. And you're like, oh, man.
Right. But now what about Kwame?
Yeah. Well, he needs to be opened up. He is carrying around some dark shit that he needs to let go of too.
But he does finally tell Terry, so at least now you know, he gets that out, which I think is the first step for him.
Yes. And Terry was, and who knows why Terry took it so well. Was it because she doesn't disapprove of Kwame's behavior the way she disapproves of Arabella's? Is it because of Arabella's experience that now she's more open to this thing? Who knows? But she's really kind and supportive, and
She
doesn't limit it. Yeah.
Yes. And I think because she thinks part of Arabella's problem is that she brings stuff on herself. And I don't think she feels that way about Kwame.
Right. But you're right. But no, the point is she's deemed. Yeah. She's deemed that whatever he does is worthy of some sort of sympathy. And for some reason, Arabella is not worthy of the same sympathy.
Right.
Or empathy or whatever it is. But yeah, they're all being assholes. Everybody's being an asshole in this episode, for sure.
And then there's the big happy animals.
Ooh, yeah.
Speech or whatever.
Yes, by a guy that they call Pastor. Yeah, his name is Samson, but they call him Pastor because he's always preaching, I guess.
Preaching, yes, he is, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. And he goes on about, he presses Arabella, what are you, a climateer now? And he just has some really interesting points about kind of these really liberal left-wing initiatives and how you have to be in a position of privilege to be able to see that, and that it excludes so many people who are still struggling to get to that point of privilege. And it's just really interesting to even think about or hear about climate change through the point of view of race. Because they weren't like, oh, climate change isn't real. They were saying it wasn't so much that. It was like, hey, I'm just at the point of buying my Mercedes. Fuck you that now you want to look at climate change. Sure. But I don't. I'm not there.
Right. Right. Exactly. And this – idea of what's really behind all this. Like he was saying, yeah, like it comes from the same manipulative mind. Like the real agenda is power and worship, yes, and money.
Yes.
And yes, so you're right. They're not, he's not a denier of climate change. He's just making a much bigger point.
Yeah.
And I love when he says, if you're going to fight exploitation of any kind, you yourself should know when you're being exploited.
That was just like, stand up, wow, and clap. Yes. Yeah,
slow clap. Because yes, then he goes on, every like you get gives them exposure. Exposure gives them followers. Followers gives them power. Power gives them money. And basically, you're just helping them get all of that.
Yeah.
She's, oof, like, oh.
Yes. Yes. And then, but what about the end? So then she's like, thinks she's outing them. Yeah. Or screwing them over,
exactly,
by pulling off her wig, which, by the way, she looks fantastic in that really long. That's a new look we haven't seen, that really long black hair. That was, yeah, gorgeous.
Very cool.
She's just, yeah. And she pulls it off and eats chicken on their Facebook Live. But then it goes viral, right?
Yes, then it goes viral. She gets, yeah, all you see is the clicks, the click, 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 the likes. And then I'm like, wait. Wait, yeah, this is having the opposite effect. This is doing exactly. So I was, what he, right, was.
Pastor would,
against,
not be happy about this. Yeah. Even, right, though she feels like she's gotten her personal vindication.
Right.
She's.
But it's true. She should have known. You're like that type of shit. It's like there's no such thing as bad publicity. Like,
yeah,
all it's going to do is draw more attention, which is giving them more power and more influence.
Yeah. But at the same time, she was also had to reverse her own shit, right? Because her own shit was that she did all these videos and it was a fake and she's not a believer, right, in, right, veganism or climate change or anything. So she outed herself and she then brought herself back to, I'm being authentic Arabella, which is really important. But then a side part of that is that they are getting the likes and, right, the money and the power that they need. I mean, right, it's just all
so tangled
up. I wasn't
sure how I was supposed to feel about,
I know,
that in the end.
It's all tangled up. And it's, well, it's the same thing. Like, personally, I feel like it was a really personal victory for Arabella. But,
right,
on the larger scale, did she hurt or harm the causes?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. The point is, they will not be exploiting her anymore. And that is a good thing. But,
yes.
I wonder, do you, okay, I know I always complain about how they're dripping these out week by, right, week and it's, mm-hmm, painful, but I don't know, would binging it be better? Because it's so layered. Each episode is so heavy and so thick and so dense.
It's
great.
It would be too much. It would be too much.
I think that maybe if you had just suspended, like we then spend weeks thinking about these episodes. I mean, obviously episode 7 was last night and we did not have a lot of time to think about it, but we do have more time to process and think about these episodes. I think if you watched the whole 5 hours or 6 hours at one time, you wouldn't be so thrown back and forth. Like literally last week, I was like, oh, this is definitely a show about her sexual assault and maybe not the one, but many of them and all sorts of shades of them. And now here I am that an hour later saying it's not about that. It's about,
right,
bigger, like these two almost had race at their, even, yeah, though consent was still there and sexual assault was still there. It was really, these were a lot about race.
Yes.
And again, we keep talking about Theo, but, and you would know it from watching it, but she's a white woman and these are all black people that she is navigating,
yeah,
in these sticky situations. Yeah.
Her racial comments about them as students when she was being sort of escorted off the school grounds once she,
ooh,
got busted.
Wait, did I miss that?
Oh, yeah.
I did, because I was like, oh, you know, Ryan, the right thing happened. Ryan got off. She's going to be in trouble. I actually went to the cabinet to get something to eat.
Oh, she says, calls him a racial slur under her breath,
ooh,
as she's walking away. Yeah,
oh,
which is,
fuck,
which, that's
Theo,
the other thing about Theo.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I
and
missed
then,
that.
Yeah. So Theo, again, with the whole Theo, good, you know, you feel for Theo, but then you don't feel for Theo. And then she says,
oh,
that. Geez. And that's right before she then goes home and you see what happens with the story with her
right,
her mom and stepdad.
Oh,
I mean, and then even in this last one, she does admit that she got a higher referral fee for bringing,
yes,
in,
yes,
Arabella because she's black.
Right.
Which doesn't,
yes,
make her a bad person. She just,
right,
But, right. you know, I don't know. So Theo, we don't know about Theo. Maybe Terry. Terry, yeah. Like, can we trust
but
her?
But here's, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make her a bad person because Arabella knows very well about referral fees. But the fact yes. that she got a higher one because she was black, I do think she should have said something about that
right.
to Arabella right. beforehand. Look, I know you need money, and I do too, but I just want you to know because you're a person of color. And it might have put it in her head, like, are they exploiting me for being black? And then,
right.
you know, she could have made a better choice because the point of the matter is a lot of where she is at the end of this, so what we were just talking about, she fixed her authenticity, but she wouldn't have had that problem if she had thought about the racial aspect of it going in. And if Theo had that information beforehand, oof, damn.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, my point was, I think if you binged watched 5 hours, you might not think about all of this stuff. You'd tell the story in a whole, and you'd have to think about the story more in a whole. Because I don't know if you watch previews for next week. We're back in Italy. Biagio, the original right. assault. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's relentless.
It is relentless.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll be back.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.